and may they bring those who hear them closer to you. Friendship with God. To many believers, that may seem a very curious notion, and perhaps somewhat disrespectful. Surely God is a remote, rather disapproving figure who sits at an unfathomable distance from us. You may listen to our prayers and may answer them, but not always in a way that we can understand. To think of God as we would think of our best friend, as someone we can talk to clearly and without fear, is such a new notion that we may need to break a lifetime's habits. Would God really want me on his WhatsApp list? I can understand why he might want Nelson Mandela, or Mother Teresa, or St. Francis of Assisi, but would he want to be friends with me? Wouldn't he think, this chap can't even operate his Facebook page properly? I don't have time to be friends with him. But listen to what Jesus has to say about this kind of friendship. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Now verse 11 of John 15 focuses on an outcome to keeping Jesus' commandments and those of God, and the outcome is joy. And this joy means an exuberance of faith that nothing can destroy. It means a deep-seated sense of happiness that is not merely emotional alone, but a lively pleasure in the things of God. A significant part of this reading is Jesus' clarification of how he regards his disciples. They are not strangers, not merely disciples, and certainly not servants. They are friends. Jesus notes the reason he calls them friends is he has shared the riches of all that he has with them in terms of his relationship with God. I have made known to you everything. Here, Jesus' offer of the intimacy of friendship is overwhelming. To be with Jesus, the risen Lord, is to be invited into a friendship with God. There is a giftedness about this verse. We have received something we did not create, go searching for, or earn on our own. It resembles the glorious feeling of being asked to be someone's spouse, their best friend, their beloved, the chosen above all others. If we ask whose name is on this gift, the answer is me, my name. But there's also a responsibility attached to this election of the works of fruit bearing. We are to bear the fruit that lasts. A friendship with God is the most profound experience that any of us can have. However, sometimes, even though we say that is what we are seeking, and the benefits and help that come from that friendship, we often lapse into despondency and misery as we forget our closeness to God. I've been suffering from ill health for some time, and I've asked God frequently for help with my illness and have very often received it. A little while ago, probably because I was overconfident and was trying to run before I could walk, I had a relapse, and I found myself dealing with my main condition and a couple of other subconditions at the same time. I asked God to help me through these things and heal them one by one. When I went briefly into hospital, I pulled my back in the shower, which compounded my misery. And so I asked God to help me first heal the pain of my back and then the subconditions. As the week wore on, I started to feel quite down. And then, within a short time, my back pain had gone. My subconditions were improving quite fast. And I was able to concentrate again on a strategy to improve my health. And that is because a number of people stepped in to help me with my problems. My GP, the hospital, my wife Sheila, which is God mobilizing the resources of good people on my behalf to improve my situation. And God was there listening to me as a friend, and as a good friend would, asking me to utilize his resources to help. Now, during this period of physical suffering, there were days when I was so weary and so exhausted that I could hardly summon up the energy to speak to God, or the mental energy to articulate what I was asking for. In those times, I found that all I could do was simply to reach out silently to try to grasp God's hand. I always felt as if my hand was being firmly grasped in return, and that was enough to see me through the day and lead me to calmer, more painless places. It was purely an emotional reaction. Sometimes when we're in pain or we're distressed, we can't find the words or even think clearly. But I found that just this physical action of reaching out for God's hand was enough. The idea came to me from something that Steve said in a sermon when he first joined St. Stephen's, how he would brush away evil influences by brushing his sleeve. And I try to do the same when faced by negative thoughts or anger. I was discussing with Barbara Luland my experience in reaching out for God. And she reminded me of the verse in Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And that help is my experience. We do sometimes ask God to show his friendship by doing something to help us, and then we fail to recognize the help when it arrives. And I often am guilty of that. One of the things that I've been trying to do with my illness is to understand what well people can do to alleviate the pain and despondency of sick people. And one way to do that is to find ways of reminding the sick people that God is carrying out acts of friendship all of the time. And we will feel better if we recognize this and we look for them in our lives. The slough of despond can easily suck us in if we allow it to. And it is part of the role of the believing well, as I now call them, and me, to act in friendship to keep others from falling into despondency. We all live in the illusion, at least from time to time, that we're in this alone and that God is not here to help us. And Jesus himself was operating at such a high spiritual level that he kept in close touch with his friendship with God and almost never gave up. And he never gave into despondency. Consequently, he was able to help and cure others through reminding them that God was their friend and would heal them and help them through the faith that he embodied and demonstrated. We must learn to be with God as we would our closest friend, with absolute trust, clarity, and frankness, as well as respect. And the church must also learn to do that, because that's how Jesus worked. I remember many years ago, sitting in this church, during a christening, before Steve's time, I would say, and listening to some very complicated and over-ornate prayers. Some of the visitors who had come to the church for the christening clearly had no experience of church. And one turned round and said to me, what is this all about? With genuine bafflement. Frankly, the overwordy, over-ornate prayers had me baffled too. And so I could sympathize with him. That's not how we talk to our friends, and not how we talk to our family, and that should not be the way we talk to God. The feeling of separation from God prevents humans from getting his help, calling upon him, having a friendship with him, harnessing the full potential of God's creative and healing power, either to end suffering or for any other purpose. We see this in the story of Jesus and Lazarus, one of the friends of Jesus who Jesus dearly loved. Jesus could tap into the power of God to raise Lazarus because God always heard him. And he knew how he loved his friend Lazarus. Because he was so close to God, Jesus could draw directly on his power and resource, the greatest in the universe. Recently, I went to a silent retreat, seeking to still my mind and to open it to what God wants to say to me. As we do this, we start to notice things in the universe, especially in the natural world, that we don't normally see. And as we shut down the noise, we begin to hear God and experience his love and his help. Perhaps because of my Celtic ancestry, I'm drawn to the ways of Celtic Christianity and the closeness to nature and the signs of the natural world that flow from it. One incident that stood out for me on this retreat was quite amusing, but also illustrated how God can say something important to us in friendship when we only take the time to be quiet and listen. And like all the best friends, God was showing me his sense of humor. One of the features of this retreat house is a large garden. And in this garden, there are laid out 8 different stations to visit, representing different spiritual aspects of our visit to the retreat. So I decided to do this on the last day at the retreat centre, and I duly arrived at the garden in early afternoon to start the process of moving through the stations. As I did this, I noticed that a large and very beautiful and healthy-looking grey and white cat was watching me from the edge of the lawn. I'd seen this cat before and seemed to have an air of quiet confidence, as if it was one of the staff at the centre and knew exactly what its role was. I moved from station to station and meditated on their spiritual meanings. And as I progressed, the cat followed me around. As I came to the last one, I turned around to see the cat watching me from a pathway close by. I finished my meditation at the last station, and then I noticed the cat walking slowly towards me, right past me, and then on into the car park where it sat down by my car. As it walked past, I noticed it was walking in a rather strange, rolling fashion, which got it where it wanted to be, but a bit more slowly than normal. And then I realized why. The cat only had 3 legs, and one of its back legs was missing. But still, it was managing to have a good life and had learned to overcome its disability and continue to function well. As I watched this cat, it came to me that God was saying something to me as I hobble around the garden with my stick. You too can overcome this disability and lead a full life as this cat can. It was God talking to me as a friend with a touch of humor. And it helped me to understand, because I had taken steps to quieten my mind and listen to what God was saying to me. Friendship with God. God wants to help us to have his limitless resources put to good use by us who he loves so much. And that's what we want as well. We want a friendship with God, one that is functional and productive and helps us and advances his kingdom. We need to have a conversation. Each of us experiences our conversations with God in our own way and in different ways at different times. It should be a two-way conversation. It could be a conversation in our head or on paper or with God's response, taking just a little more time and reaching you in the form of the next song you hear, the next film you see, or the next talk that you attend, or the next magazine article you read, or maybe in the chance utterance of a friend whom you just happen to run into on the street. And once you've become clear that we're always in conversation with God, then we can move into friendship. Whenever you write lyrically, you speak poetically, you smile lovingly, or you sing a song or dance a dance, God shows up, and life begins to dance with God's energy. God is right here, right now, and always has been, and always will be. When we talk to God, we are described as pious and prayerful. But if we claim that God talks to us, we're described as crazy or delusional. Although we are prepared to accept that God talked to his prophets thousands of years ago. It should be a two-way conversation, not a one-way conversation. Having a true working friendship with God may take a change of mind and a change of heart and courage. Let's think about some of the steps in a friendship with God. Number one, know God. What do we need to do to know God? We need to believe that there is a God to know. Willingness to see him where you find him, not just where you expect to find him. In order to know God, you have to be ready, willing, and able to find him everywhere. If you believe in God, you're willing to have some new thoughts about him. Then you've moved to the able stage, ready to activate your friendship with him. Secondly, trust God. When I don't trust the goodness of God and the unconditional love of God, I see us, all of us here on earth, as children of a lesser God. The higher level of trust in anyone is not having to trust, but to know that person can be relied on, no matter what. We can feel that way about our closest family and our very best friends, and we should work on feeling that way about God. Letting go of our doubts and letting God come to us in friendship. Think about trusting your nearest relative and your oldest friend. We don't have to question our trust in them because we know they love us and we will help us. There is no doubt. And the same should be true of our friendship with God. Thirdly, love God. God's love for us is eternal and unconditional. If you love God as someone you know and trust, you can receive his love in the same way that you give God your love. Fourthly, embrace God. Embrace God, get close to God. By being in the silence, being with your soul for just a few golden moments every day. This is where you may most profitably begin. When you're with your soul, when you're silent and quiet, then you're close to God. Step five, working with God. If you step out with God consciously, if you work with God with awareness and with intention, all things will change. Ask God for his help. It means to use all the tools and gifts that he has given us. There is a divine force in the universe, and it is made up of these things. Creative energy, gentle wisdom, and pure love. When you work with God, you're using this divine force. Step six is to help God. When you access divine wisdom, you help God to do more of his work. You help God when you help yourself to God. Help yourself to as much of God as you like, for God is the food of life by which all things are nourished. The last step is gratitude. Gratitude is route one to God. Gratitude is the fastest form of healing. What you are grateful for can help you, as it was meant to. And this is the final stage in a friendship with God, Thank God. In our lives, some of us have not embraced God with a closeness that made God a very real part of our experience. Now we can. All of our lives, we have not worked with God as we would work with our best friend. I've started to try to make my friendship with God more effective and treat him as a friend and not as a rather cross, bad-tempered and remote deity. If you ask someone's help to do something challenging for you as a friend, you find out who your best friends are. Everyone else is just an acquaintance. And remember, you're asking and working with a God that has infinite resources, much greater intelligence and problem-solving abilities than we have, and wants nothing more than to make those resources available to us. I've had a recent example of this when confronted by a problem with someone I know, whose actions or inactions I just could not fathom out, and which was causing me some frustration. I asked God if he would communicate to me a message explaining this situation and this person's behavior, and then I decided to wait and let go and just let God talk to me in his good time. A couple of days later, this person, out of the blue, explained in a great rush of words what he was thinking and how he was approaching his life. And I once understood that I had not been reading or understanding the situation correctly. I'd allowed my concerns to get the better of me, and in fact the problem was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was. God had answered my prayer for help and had done so in a clear and unequivocal way. Why? Because I'd mentally cleared the decks for him to do so and had treated him as a friend who would help me understand this situation. It has rightly been said that life begins at the end of our comfort zone. It may not have been in all of our comfort zones to have a friendship with God. But today is a new day. However old we are, and however set in our ways we are, now is a new time. And ours is a new choice. It's time to create a new personal friendship with God. We must all seek that friendship, a true friendship and a real friendship. A practical working friendship, a lasting and a daily friendship with God. So can we all raise our hands to take God's hand in ours, to thank him for his friendship and pray for that friendship to develop, remembering the words of Isaiah. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.